The title of tonight's message, which I don't always know, but I do know exactly what he wants to do tonight. The title is called The Baptism of Power. To open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, you know where I'm going, and verse 8. Now, even as you're turning to that verse, let me bless you a little bit. You, and not only you that are here in attendance, but you watching, if you are a partaker of Dave Roberson Ministries, Jim Martin Ministries, Bronk Flint Ministries, Gary Carpenter, you are already a rare breed. Because you already, your mind is renewed more than maybe 95% of the Christian world. What I mean by that is you have most likely, if you're a follower of those ministries, you have not only agreed that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, but you have received that for yourself. You have most likely already speak with other tongues. And by the way, if you can't, don't leave here tonight without that ability. Amen. Believers shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. It's something worth you're to have. So, and let me go a little farther. Even among the camp of the Christian world that believes that the baptism's for today and tongues are for today, most of them don't really believe that you can pray in other tongues anytime that you want to. But it's of all of the gifts of the Spirit, that is the only one that the Lord put under the dominion of your new man, because you can be edified. The Holy Spirit, He's always ready to teach you. He is always ready to edify you. He's always ready to pray. He'll pray 24/7 if you let Him. So it's really, that's the only one that He left under your control, the prayer of edification. Now, there's four diversities of tongues, and we're not going to get into those tonight. The other three are not at your will, but that one is at your will. And you can pray in tongues. So, okay, let's go a little. I'm going to brag on them some more. Many of you have spent hours upon hours upon hours praying in other tongues, when everything in your natural mind is saying, you stupid idiot. I don't understand this. This isn't that complex. And besides that, it wasn't just your mind. A couple of devils jumped on there, telling you you're wasting your time. You know, you've gone off the deep end. This isn't a complex. Am I preaching to the right group here? Yes. See, and kudos. I mean, I feel the approval of heaven. Thank God for you. And thank God, some of us have been at this a while, praying in other tongues. And like Dave says, we've been building our walls of revelation, first the foundation, then the walls. And I believe we're really arriving now at the time where He's starting to put on some sections of roof. Those roof questions that we've had for all these years. But now, He's asking you to go one more step. Now He's asking you to, you've been obedient, you've been faithful, I feel nothing but His pleasure. But He said, I need you to take another step now. Just like you've walked with me this far, I need you to walk one more step. And it's the baptism of power. See, because really, when you get, thank God for tongues, we're not taking away from that message at all. I want to challenge Paul. Well, you just think you pray in tongues more than us all. I mean, I wasn't alive when you said that, my friend, I'll tell you now. You hadn't met me yet. I intend to continue what I'm saying. But really, tongues, as valuable and important as they are, was not the end, was not the result, was not the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. It is a tool to help us. But here is the purpose. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, you shall receive power. Now, that is not authority there. That is the word dunamis. It's where you get the word dynamite. It's where you get dynamo. This is the source of raw, unlimited power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And He's really telling them, I don't even want you to try and be my witness until you get that power. I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem until you get it, because you need power to be my witness. The message, when we read in Mark 16, those last few verses where it says, the Lord working with and confirming the word, What it was the word? What did they preach everywhere they went? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. And I'm here to show you that right now. Demonstration of the Spirit and in power. See, Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he says, you bunch of puffed up people. I'm going to come again. He says, I'm going to come and I'm not looking for your speech. I'm coming to find out if who it is that's got any power. Well, what if he did that with the majority of churches on earth today? I don't think I want to even be in that service myself. Yeah. Anyway, you shall receive power. Let's talk about this power. Power of the Holy Ghost. See, one thing we're going to work on tonight is fear. You get pumped up at the conference. Yeah. Last night we had Bronk come up as the new creature. I'm going to use him again. And this is the new man on the inside. Superman. Bronk, come up here. I can't do it. Come on. Come on. It doesn't. See, they look at me do that. That ain't nothing. Look at him. Turn around on that blue line. That new man on the inside of you. Woo! Don't look at Gary. Don't look at Gary. Gary has been joined. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. That's a new creature on the inside of you. If you'll allow me, he's Superman of the Spirit. Put your hand, give that Superman pose on the hips. Look, listen, able to cast out devils with a single word. Able to leap over every problem with a single bound. It's Superman of the Spirit. All things are possible. Hallelujah. All right, go sit down now. Come on. I'm preaching, you're not. Sit down. Isn't that a great image, though? And we're pumping you up like that. Yes, yes. But then the conference is over. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, Monday morning. I already know the name of the... I know his name. The name of the devil that's coming after you. His name is Samo. Samo, Samo. Yeah, wasn't that a great conference? But you're not changed. You're just the same old person you've always been. Same old bills, same old husband. Same old car that needs this and needs that. Same old job where they don't like you. Same old this, same old that. And if you're not careful, it'll be conference time next year. And you go, wasn't I going to change the world? That's what we're dealing with. Fear is going to run from you like a scalded dog. You ever seen a scalded dog? I mean, you know, you can go get and they'll go. But you scald it? Nah, not on purpose. I'm nice to dogs. But you ever seen a dog? I mean, they're not only going, it's going, yeah, 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 yeah. That's the way fear is going to be with you. It's going to run like a scalded dog. Let's talk about power for a minute. Now, who is it? Yes, sir. Oh, okay, Bronk. I'm sorry, man. I know he's writing and everything. That's why we have video. Come back up here. Stand on it. Now, Barry, you too. You don't get to ride either. See, the only person... We only got a couple of people in here that's taller and bigger than Bronk. Now, we've got to have the Holy Ghost. Because tonight, Bronk is the new man. That's you, representing you. It's not just me. He's representing you. But see, Jesus himself, he didn't do any miracles out of his new man. No, he had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, Barry's come up. He represents the Holy Ghost here. Now let's talk about the Holy Ghost. See, some reasons for fear. I've never done this before. I've never laid my hands on the sick. There has never been anybody healed that the Holy Ghost did not do it. He has sure done it before. Start leaning on him. How much power do you have? Well, I got a little bit. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost in you is the one that created the world that you walk on. He's the one that brought the land out of the water, divided the firmament, all of those things. That's the Holy Ghost. He is the molecule changer. He is the manifester. God the Father plans everything. God the Son speaks everything. But the Holy Ghost is the one that manifests everything. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, it was the Holy Ghost that brought him. And he, that now not some different Holy Ghost. There's not more than one Holy Ghost. Now think about it. I double dog dare you say this after me. The Holy Ghost that created the world. Lives in me. Every healing that ever took place was done by the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Every blind eye that was ever opened was opened by the Holy Spirit who lives in me. This may be new to me. It certainly is not new to him. There is no reason to fear. Amen. Amen. You getting some of this? All right. All right. Now let's see if they can stay here or not. Yes, you can sit down now for a little bit. I'm going to bring you up again. I'm going to stay real close with this. There are so many rabbit trails. They're not rabbit trails. These good trails. So many good things that. This one, I got to stay close tonight because he's got something specific to get across to you. I doubt you've seen it before. You might have. I don't want to leave that verse too quickly there now. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Did that help you a little bit about the power?
Yes.
What kind of power is in you? Ooh. See, that's dunamis. That's force. The first meaning, in it's Strong's number G1411, and the first word to describe dunamis is force. Then it's power, ability, strength, might. Got that? I'm going to go ahead and give you this too, that you shall be witnesses. That's the purpose. Power to witness. And that word witness is G3144 in Strong's, and it's M-A-R-T-U-S. It's where we get our English word, martyr. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's your witness. And they love not their lives unto the death. You got to have that part. Say, well, what if it doesn't happen when I pray? See, that's the risk. We'd like to think, well, I don't want to bring dishonor on Jesus. It's not his dishonor you're worried about. It's not his reputation. Come on. You're not going to give him a black eye. I'll tell you right now, I'll help you. Don't be afraid you're going to make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. Let's get that over with. I'm telling you right now, your Father's bigger than your mistakes. Okay. Now, go to Colossians for a moment, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 9 through 11. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Now notice, spiritual understanding. I'll tell you a good way to find out, or a gauge, I guess, to know how much your mind is being renewed. The more your mind is renewed, the more the natural people think you're crazy. If they don't think that, you got a ways to go. I'm serious. No, I'm serious as I can be. I'm finding I have to be careful how I talk with people. They'll think you're crazy, the natural person. I can command cancer to go and it'll leave in Jesus' name. And they think you're nuts. Yeah. I remember Norval Hayes' daughter was covered with warts. And Norval was already in ministry and was having good success. But he couldn't get those warts off his daughter. How many of you remember that story, you know? Dad Hagen come and saw the situation. He says, well, don't you know I can curse them and all those warts will disappear in Jesus' name? And Norval kind of, he didn't say anything. He was like, no, I didn't know that. And he was hoping Hagen, you know, was going to stay the night and get him to do that. But some kind of emergency came up and they had to leave that same evening. And so Norval didn't know about it. So long story short, he started seeking God about it and God trained him. And he was able eventually to curse those things. And every one of those warts left her body in a single moment. Now, the world just call you flat nuts. You start telling stories like that. But a spiritual mind, that is the most normal, natural thing. Well, of course they have to go. Of course I have dominion over sickness and disease. Warts have no mind. They have no will. They can't resist me. I have dominion over them. See? Okay. That's being filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that you might walk. Now, He's talking about your walk now, not your church. He's talking about your walk. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto pleasing. Now, notice, in your walk, being fruitful in every good work. Remember one of the earlier lessons? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. We know for sure those good works are not giving, they're not praying, and they're not fasting. Because all three of those you're supposed to do in secret, not to be seen of men. Well, if it's not those things, see, those are all things we can do. Humans can give by their own volition. They can pray and they can fast. But normally a human can't talk to cancer and make it leave. You can. You can. And you're supposed to do it publicly where people can see it so they don't give you the glory. They give it said that they may glorify my Father. Glorify the Father and glorify the Lord. Amen. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why you came to conference. Now this part. Strengthened with all might. Say all. Strengthened with all might. And again, that is the word dunamis. It's talking about that power that you received with the Holy Ghost come upon you. Now, according to His glorious power. Now, there's the word power again. And this one is different. According to, how much dunamis do I have? Well, it's according to His glorious power. That is the Greek word kratos. K-R-A-T-O-S. It's Strong's G-2904. According to His glorious power, the meaning of that word is dominion. He's talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ. We're back again talking about two kingdoms at war. You've been strengthened with might according to the dominion of our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. That's why everywhere you go in this world that lieth under the power of darkness, you are to bring the kingdom of God in its place. Power. Let me give you a few other verses quickly in the New Testament that use that same word, kratos. Now, it's not always translated dominion, because it does mean dominion, might, power, and strength. Okay, that's what it means. But the first meaning is dominion. Now, here's some other verses. You don't need to turn there. I think it's 1 Peter. I didn't copy it all. But it's one of them Peters, 4:11. I got 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now notice, to whom be Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. That's the word kratos. Here's another one. 1 Peter 5:11. To Him be glory, talking about Jesus, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. A kingdom is the domain where you have dominion. And we are to bring the dominion of Christ to this earth. And you can't do that without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can have all the bake sales you want. You can have all the midnight basketball you want. I'm not against anything that anybody can do. But Muslims can have bake sales. Muslims can have midnight basketball. But Muslims cannot raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, and open blind eyes. You got to have power from the Holy Ghost to establish the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another verse, Jude 1. It's actually Jude chapter 1. Okay. I'm just seeing if you're listening. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the last one is Revelations 1:6. And hath made, and hath, past tense, made us kings. Does kings speak of a dominion? Is there any such thing as a king that does not have a dominion? We are sub-kings. Last night when we did the service at one point, this new man, we crowned him because Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. We put a scepter in his hand. But at one point, you never forget who your Lord is. And he turned around and bowed before the Lord Jesus, laid down his scepter, took the crown and cast it at his feet. We are sub-kings under the King. But notice, he has made us kings and priests, which I won't even get into that tonight. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion. There's Kratos. Forever. Amen. So I looked up the word dominion just in our modern dictionary. Dominion, here's some meanings of dominion. Sovereignty. You bring the sovereignty of the King, Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the blind man. And after he opened his eyes later, he found him again. And he says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I come that they might have healing. He called healing the blind man life. Because God did not make man to be blind. That's darkness. And we're bringing the kingdom of light, the dominion. But you can't do that without the power of the Holy Ghost. That's good. Sovereignty, control, dominance, mastery, command, rule, and I like this one, so does he. Jurisdiction. You're bringing, every time you see a case where darkness is reigning, you are bringing the jurisdiction of King Jesus to that person. Amen. Amen. Another meaning of dominion, it represents the territory of a sovereign government. Oh, my Lord. Let me read here. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be a witness of the risen Lord by establishing His dominion over the power of darkness everywhere we go. It is light, every time, it is light dispelling darkness. Darkness has never had the power to put out light. One thing you will never see in all your life is a dark switch. You ever room's full of light, and you walk in, there's the dark switch. You ever seen one of those? You flip it, and the room goes, you know? Does darkness overpower light? Quit being afraid. The devil is afraid of you. That's why he'll fight you. Now, that's another lesson. I can't go there tonight. But we already got the cure for that. Isn't it Luke 10:19? Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Quit being afraid. Yeah, he may kick and scream. He's got to come out anyway. Darkness is simply the absence of light. But you are a child of light. We are called the children of light. Now, get this picture. Let's get a picture of the 30 years that Jesus lived on planet Earth. Now, he's alive. He's the new man. He's the bronc walking around, okay? He's got that new man on the inside is what I'm saying. That nature gave him dominion over sin. When he was born righteous and holy. And For 30 years, he lived a sinless life. Now, boy, that's a testimony right there. But you got to understand, during that 30 years, you reckon he ever walked by a blind beggar on the corner? You ever walked by any sick people? You reckon he had any funerals in Nazareth during those 30 years? And I thought about those 30 years where the light is on the planet, but he's not yet been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But let me ask you this, is the Holy Ghost God? Is the Holy Ghost omnipresent? Was the Holy Ghost on the earth during those 30 years? And I was thinking, I wrote this down. You know, that woman that was bowed over for 18 years, bowed together, it says. For 18 years she went to synagogue, to what we today would say church. 18 years. Was the Holy Spirit present in those services? Does he have power to heal? Was he able to do anything about it? What about the man that was born blind? Grew up to be a full-grown man. And Jesus was alive on the earth during 30 years of that. And the Holy Spirit had the power. But the Holy Spirit on his own did not heal. We're headed for something there. One more about the woman with the issue of blood. Now, she went to the doctor. She used man's wisdom. I'm not against doctors. Again, I think doctors, I thank God for them. They'll keep you alive till you get some faith. You know, thank God for doctors. Seriously. I do thank God for doctors. They're really on the same mission as us. But they're just using natural wisdom because they don't have access to God's power. But we have access to God's power. The day is going to come when they're going to be really glad when you walk into the emergency room. The ICU. And it won't be, oh, they've come to console. They're going, oh, I've seen him before. I've seen him before. Stand back. Our patient's about to get off the bed. I was reading to them today from history, John G. Lake's ministry, again, up in Spokane. And in 5 years, he trained just 16 people. Just 16, and he purposely chose Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. Nobody that would be considered fivefold. He picked 16 Joe Publics and Mary Wallpapers, trained them, and in 5 years, they had 100,000 verified, documented by doctors, healings. To the point, what they didn't know, to the point that the hospital named the Deaconess Hospital closed down in Spokane. It has happened in history before. So then they started accusing him. Well, you know, religion has to come up with some excuse if they can't do it. I didn't say that out loud, right? No, that's not on tape or anything, right? No video? Oh, man. So they had to come up with something. So they're saying, well, it's because Spokane, you know, there's these, which is all junk what I'm about to say, but there's these ley lines around the world and they're somehow, if you're on one of those ley lines, somehow there's an open heaven or some nonsense like that. Hey, where you go, there's an open heaven. Where you go, there's an open heaven. Where you go, you got heaven in your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. Heaven's open when you get there. Anyway, they said, well, it's only because it's Spokane. So you know what he did? He moved to Portland. Didn't take those same 16 people. He started with brand new people, trained 16 new ones, and had exactly the same results in the next 5 years. 100,000 healed. Now, if they can do it, listen, if any man ever did it, and if those people can do it, we can do it. God's no respecter of persons. If they did it, we can do it. Hallelujah. See, this whole thing here, what I'm seeing, the Holy Spirit during that 30 years, Jesus is really the only light. But he's not been anointed yet by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is brooding. He's there. It reminds me of Genesis 1, brooding over the darkness, but he's not doing anything. He can't do anything. And he's looking forward to the day when he can join with the Lord Jesus. When that baptism takes place. And most of you that's heard me teach, you know that his baptism was really his coronation day. The day he was baptized, it was a visual vow to the Father. Father, I know why I'm here. When John lays me down in the water, Father, that's my vow to you. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going all the way. But Father, I'm trusting you that when John raises me up out of the water, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you to raise me up. And Father looked on his heart just like he looked on Abraham all those centuries ago when Abraham was about to put the knife in his son. And God looked on the heart and said, it's done. For as far as heaven was concerned, it was an accomplished. As far as heaven was concerned, he bore the stripes right that day. Not only the cross, he did the whole full atonement that day. As far as heaven was concerned, it was done. It's like a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven. The first Adam is dead. The reason I say that, Jesus didn't die just for Abraham. Jesus died in the place of Adam. That means the whole species of Adam. You got that? When he died, the first Adam, and I mean the whole species, died in him. Up until then, see, God, you talk about someone who will not violate his word. He gave that first Adam dominion, and even though Adam sold out to the devil, God was not, he couldn't just reassign it to somebody else as long as Adam, even the species of Adam, was alive. But if the first Adam is dead, isn't God free now to appoint a second man? The last Adam? The Lord Jesus Christ? That's why you hear that. See, Adam is called the son of God. If you look at Luke's genealogy in chapter 3, right down near the end, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, and Adam, who was the son of God. So if Adam is dead, God says, I'm finally free to appoint a new Adam. That's why this is my son. And at that moment, Jesus is crowned as the second man, the last Adam, and finally, the Holy Ghost can bring the dominion that belonged to the first man, Adam. Now he can come and baptize the last man, Adam. And from that day forward, that this Adam he had to overcome where the first Adam failed. And that's why you see that temptation in the wilderness. Pastor Dave would say, if you think there was just three temptations, this is a summary. The devil threw everything that can be thrown at a human being, including suicide thoughts, including mental illness, including money, including power and esteem and kingdoms, and anything that was ever thrown was thrown at the Lord Jesus. And he had one way to victory, and you can have it every time. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. I speak the word. I speak the word. I speak the word. I speak the word. When he overcame, now it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. That victory's already been won, and you get to live in the fruit of that victory. You got that? Hallelujah. It's just like Genesis chapter 1, where the Holy Spirit was brooding over the face of the deep while everything was in total darkness. It wasn't until, the Holy Spirit knew that the Father wanted light. He's God. He's all-knowing. He knew the instant the Father wanted light, he knew that the Father wanted light. He was there, had the ability to make light, produce light. But see, the way the kingdom is set up, he doesn't do anything apart from the Word. He was waiting for something. And finally, the second member of the Godhead. I like how it is in the Hebrew better than the English. Instead of saying, let there be light, it was, light be, and light was. God, that's how we want our prayers answered, right there. Health be, health is. Anyway, I love this. Now the point is, the Holy Spirit does not manifest his power without the co-laboring of Adam. In the beginning, it was the second member of the Godhead that spoke, light be, which, by the way, is now the second man. You get this? The last Adam. These two have worked together before. Anyway, that's a whole nother lesson. Now, in this dispensation, the last man, Adam, is the Lord Jesus Christ. We, from that last night's lesson, we are joined to the Lord. If you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. Okay? We are joined with him. We have more than delegated authority. Now, the 12 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they operated under delegated authority because they weren't lights. The 70 operated under delegated authority. They didn't have Christ in them. That was delegated authority. But from last night's lesson, you are joined. It's a miracle. It's a new creature. It's something that didn't exist before, and it's you. You're not operating on delegated authority. You're operating in full authority. That name is above every name that is named. Good. Now, this one I want you to look at, Matthew 16, 19. Now, this is right after Peter gave his great revelation. Who do men say that I am? Some the prophet, some this, some that. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And that gets us up to verse 19. Verse 19, he says, and he also says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, it's not the rock of Peter, it's the rock of the revelation. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this revelation. But the very next verse, he says, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, one of the lessons this week, we talked about the thief. A thief does not need authority to break into your house. They just break into it. They're just thieves. Isn't that right? But Jesus says keys to a kingdom, keys to anything, are given to those that have been placed in authority. I gave Angie the keys to my car the other day because she needed to go to Myers. Glory to God. Yeah, hallelujah. I got a little hallelujah for Angie right there. When I gave her the keys to my car, I'm authorizing her to use my car. Well, he says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Now, if we're going to function the way our Lord Jesus did, the keys he's really talking about are your words. They're your words. And I'm going to tell you again what the Holy Ghost told me within the last few weeks. For a believer to think that their words will not come to pass, that is the same as a soldier on a battlefield thinking his bullets will not fire. It's quiet every time I say that. You're going to see it even more in a minute. I'm not going to belabor it here because I'm going too slow. Listen to me. Keys are given to those who have been placed in authority. Now get this. Look at that verse. The binding and loosing has to be done on earth first. Only then does heaven move in agreement. Look at it yourself. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's look at a loosing. Go to Luke 13:10, just for a moment. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Say 18 years. Say that's a long time. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Jamie, you're young and limber. Would you bring that chair right over there? And I want you to bring it up right over here, fairly close to the aisle where the camera's got a good shot of you. Okay? And kind of turn it sideways. There you go. Now I want you, if you don't mind, sit in it. I don't want you to have to touch your toes during this whole thing. Now, you're bowed over. She's the bowed over. See, she's limber. I wouldn't be so bowed over if I tried to do that. Okay. 18 years this woman has been bowed over. Can you imagine going to... Yeah, I can. Can you imagine going to church for 18 years and church thinks that's normal to be bowed over like that? Jesus doesn't think that's normal. Jesus does not think that's life and life in abundance. You see this? Now let's watch exactly how he does it. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now this one is a devil. Not all sickness is, but we know for sure about this one. I'm giving you two tonight because there's two ways that Jesus would minister. We're going to get to a can jump ahead. Everything in me, I'm like, oh, I want to jump ahead. Yeah. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, now that's all that had to happen. A police officer, if he's going by in his patrol car and he sees two thugs mugging an elderly woman and taking her purse, what's required for him to take action except to see that? Is he supposed to see it and radio into head? Oh, like Bronx said the other day, radio into headquarters, there's a mugging going on. Yeah, that's a mugging. I've seen them before. We got a mugging at 1841 Donut Street. I'm still thinking about the whole place, but anyway. You mentioned donuts and I have a trouble, but anyway. Yeah, is he supposed to just drive by? Hasn't he been authorized if you see the crime? When Jesus saw her, he didn't pray about it. You pray at the mountain before this. Anyway, listen to Bronx's message earlier. You pray at the mountain before this. You already been filled with the wisdom. How did he say it? Well, I go, the knowledge and the will of God. You drive by and you see that, say, that's not God's will. So Jesus saw her. And when Jesus saw her, I love that. All he had to do was see it. And he called her to him and said unto her, now notice, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, in this case, it's a devil. He's just, yes, sir. If we're going to do it like Jesus did it, new man, I need you to walk up here. The one we're looking at is Jesus, but Bronk is you. At Kroger's, or Walmart, or Myers, or church. He walks up. Holy Spirit, I need you with him. I wish there was a way to put Barry inside Bronk. Now that would be a new creature for sure. I'm telling you right now. For one thing, Bronk would be even tanner than he is now. I mean, glory to God, you know. And even bigger. Yeah. But I don't know how else to visualize it, so this is the best we can do. But the Holy Ghost, this creator of worlds, the blind eye opener, the molecule changer, the same one that was brooding in Genesis, he's in you. He's in you. Be honest, he's known about this woman the whole 18 years. But until the agent of authority came along, the anointed one came along, he couldn't do anything about it. Now, we're about to get to this. If you get this, your life will be changed. If you get this, your life will be changed now. Pay attention. The Holy Spirit loves, because he's God, he loves that woman. But his job is not to heal that woman. His job is to enforce the dominion of the new man. There's a big difference. Holy Ghost, don't look at her. Kind of walk around to the side. Come right over here. And I want you be looking at Bronk because you're waiting to see what he will say. You're not really focusing on her. Your job is to bring dominion of the kingdom and enforce it through this new man. Now, if that results in her healing, fine. But it really depends on what the new man says. You're waiting for his words the same way the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 was waiting for the words of the second man. Your job is not to heal her. Now, you will heal her. The Holy Spirit will do the healing. Your job, though, whatever this man says, your job is to enforce that dominion. If Jesus would have walked up and said, rain be, rain would. And that woman would have stayed bowed over. Am I getting the point? We've got to understand. This is going to affect your words. You got to understand, this is the way the Holy Spirit works. He works with what you say. And you better believe that what you say is going to come to pass. Because that's what he works with. All right? So now this time we see Jesus. He says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." In this case, it's a devil. It's just, now, he laid his hands on her, the Holy Spirit. Immediately, she was made straight. Pick her up. No. Sit down, honey. In this case, now we're going to see another one. Jesus laid his hands on her. Then the Holy Spirit gets a hold of her, and she is made straight. Whoa. Man can't do that. But the Holy Spirit can. But now the point is, he loved her, he wanted her healed. But his job is really, that healing her is secondary. His real function is to enforce the dominion of the second man. Let's do one more. Thank you. All right. We're in Luke. Back up to Luke 6. We're going to do one more. This one is the withered hand. Now see, that time, he just loosed her. I wanted you to see that loosing. He loosed on earth, and in this case, it was a devil. It was a spirit of infirmity. So he just spoke the end result. I missed this part. Come back up here, Bronk. Sorry, Barry, man. Before he prayed for her, I want you to notice, it's so important. Now, notice what Bronk did not do. Bronk, the new man, Jesus. Jesus did not look to heaven and say, "Father, please heal her. Father, I'm asking you please to heal her." He didn't do that, did he? You know why? The baptism of John. In heaven's court, Jesus has already borne the stripes. Even though in real, he won't do it for, and physically, he won't do it for about 3 more years. But when that gavel came down in heaven and it was counted as done, Jesus already bore the stripes. Let me put it this way. The work to heal her has already been done. You don't need to ask God. I've got it here. Hang on a minute. T.L. Osborne said there's two things you never ask God. I've got it here somewhere. Just a moment. Here's the two things you never ask God to do. Number one, don't ask God to do what he has already told you to do. Jesus, when he sent him out, he says, "You heal the sick. You cast out devils. You cleanse the leper. You raise the dead." So you don't need to come to God and say, "Would you heal her?" He sent you in his name to heal her. Speak the command. Especially if God reveals to you it's a devil. Speak the command. You are loosed. And that devil, ow! Had to just go off, like a scalded dog. Okay. The second thing, T.L. Osborne says, the two things. Don't ask God to do what he's told you to do. And secondly, don't ask God to do what he's already done. See, the Holy Spirit cannot manifest that. I know that Jim has a whip. He showed me Indiana Jones kind of whip. And I was going to bring it and hang it over here on something, like in the past, in history. Follow me, camera, I guess. Y'all stay there. If this is a timeline in history, even though Jesus won't bear the stripes for another 3 years, when the gavel came down at the baptism, it's considered already done. From God's point of view, Jesus has already borne those lashes on his back that provide the work has already been done. The work has been done. When you say, "God, please heal her," he's just looking there. You're asking me, there's nothing for the Holy Ghost to manifest because God has already done the work through Jesus. There's nothing for the Holy Ghost. He's going, "That's already been done." And you say, and there's no, the Holy Spirit cannot, if we stand there and pray, "Father, you heal them. That authority has been given to Christ All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And he said, go in my name. You can't ask God to do what he told you to do. So the Holy Ghost can't manifest that. But he's wanting us to rise up and know who we are. And we see a captive being scourged by the devil. And we walk up and we say, be loosed in Jesus' name. Now the Holy Ghost has got work to do.
Hallelujah.
You got that?
Yeah.
Let's stay up here. We're going to do the withered hand next. All right. I'm going to look at the withered hand because this one's a little different. This one's not a devil. L.A., make these youngins get up and down. So here he comes. He's walking up here. He's in church too, I think. He's got this. There it is. He's got this. It went away. No, it's not missing. It's just withered. Okay. So just kind of shrivel it up. Yeah, there you go. He's got this shriveled hand. Okay. Go to Luke 6. And it starts in verse 6. Let me find it here myself. Here we go. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath, yeah, it's in church again, that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand. There you go. Right hand was withered. Now, this one doesn't say anything about a devil. Now watch, there's a difference in how Jesus functions. We've got to learn these things so that the Holy Spirit is free to do what he's supposed to do. Because his job really is not to fix the withered hand. His job is to manifest the dominion however this man does it. He's watching what he says, and he's watching what he does. And his job is to enforce the dominion. Okay, you got it? So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst, which L.A.'s doing. And he rose and stood forth. He's doing that. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Looking around about upon them all. Now get this. Get this. He said unto the man, if you underline. This time he's not talking to no devil. He said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. Now wait, don't do it yet. The Holy Ghost is to manifest the spoken word of command when it is believed. All things are possible to them that believe. The command is given, stretch forth thy hand. In the natural, what most people would say, can you see my hand? I can't stretch it forth. That's impossible. I can't do that. That's how the natural man reacts most of the time. But the Holy Ghost is watching. Jesus gives the, now not just you, the new man, the new creature. You give the command to the man to see if he'll obey or not. Stretch forth your hand. And even though everything in you says it's impossible, when you try, all he's looking for is, because that shows belief. When you try, then the Holy Ghost, he manifests the miracle right then. But the manifestation of the miracle is secondary. That's the fruit of his job. His real job is to manifest dominion everywhere this man goes. It's going to change what you say. It's going to change how you pray. Don't you ever be asking God to... You think God don't want to heal them more than you? That praying to God to heal them is useless? There's nothing the Holy Ghost can manifest there? Because the Holy Ghost, he just looked back, just like God the Father. What are you doing asking me to... Jesus already bore the stripes. That work is done. You got to give the command. You come to bring the dominion of the king. I've made you a king, and I've given you the name. Now go forth, child of light, and dispel the darkness everywhere you find it. Give them a hand. Hallelujah. Now, either write this down or get the thing later and write it down. I got three things that'll really, if you can get these three statements, it'll help you. When a son of God speaks, and that's you, whether you're male or female, makes no difference. When a son of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. Now, I could put right there by the power of the Holy Spirit. They really have no choice. I'll say it again. When a son of God speaks, This all this is another way of saying what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Okay? When a son of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. Got that one? Here's another one. This is who you are. You are God's son. You are man's servant. And you are Satan's master. That's absolutely who you are. Say it again. You are God's son. You are man's servant. And you are Satan's master. You can write this one down if you want to. I just love this quote. You know who William Booth was? Started the Salvation Army? I love this quote. He says, William Booth said, "I am not looking for a move of God. I am a move of God." That is the truth. And the reason we're not seeing more results, the church has not been moving. We've been up on the mountain praying instead of going out and dispelling the darkness. I'll say it again. William Booth said, "I'm not looking for a move of God. I am a move of God." And that's the attitude he wants every believer to have. You are a move of God. Let me just read here. This will go fairly quick. The Holy Spirit's mission is not to save, heal, or do miracles. That's secondary. The Holy Spirit's mission is to enforce the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. His job is to make sure that every word Jesus speaks comes to pass. Now, when I say Jesus, I'm talking about Christ in you. So let's go one more. I'm talking about you. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The Holy Spirit is watching what you say. And what you say, when what you say lines up with the word, in the name of Jesus. Now, this is going to mess with your religious head. When what you say lines up with the word, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit cannot not move. He cannot say no. He cannot. Because God cannot lie. And His word will come to pass. Dominion is the business of the Holy Spirit. Now, He has emotions. He can be grieved. He is God and He is love and He is full of compassion. But He had to walk by the sick, the blind, the lame, the maimed, and couldn't do anything about it until Jesus, the last Adam, came on the scene. Jesus is now Lord and Christ. When the Holy Spirit manifests healing in truth, that's not really what's first on His mind. What He is truly manifesting is the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ through you. Now, believers, remember, I want to say about T.L. Osborne again, in case you didn't write that down. Number one, two things you never ask God to do. Number one, don't ask God to do what He has told you to do. Number two, don't ask God to do what He has already done. In God's mind, healing has already been done. The work has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ when He took those stripes. Okay? So believers have already been told to be His witnesses by laying hands on the sick. We are the ones to lay hands on the sick. We are to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Jesus never told His disciples to pray for the sick. Look it up. You won't find it. He said, heal the sick. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But Jesus is truth. You see this working together? What truth says, the Holy Spirit does. Did you hear that? What truth says, the Holy Spirit does. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus trained His disciples to function that way. Peter did not beg and plead with God to heal the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. He issued the command in Jesus' name, rise up and walk. Peter spoke the command just like he'd seen the Master do. And the Holy Spirit manifested the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter just the same way that he did it for Jesus. And he's going to do it for you too. Now the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, but Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. His name is above every name that is named. He is life and light. We are the children of light. And we are to manifest the dominion of Christ over the darkness everywhere we go. We are the doers of the word. We are the doers of the word. The Holy Spirit is never told to do the word. We are the doers of the word. The Holy Spirit is the helper. Remember the lesson about the crane operator and the crane? Bronk is the... Now, he didn't have Cheeto fingers, but Bronk is the crane operator. The Holly Spirit is the crane. Barry's the crane. Got it? All right. We are ministers of life and life in abundance. It is not just words, but the very life of God that we minister to people. That's why prayer claws work. That's why the life can become so abundant in a person that if the sick get within shadow length, like it did with Peter, if they get within shadow length, that life can be manifested by the Holy Spirit within them. But even then, the life is manifested through vessels of authority. The Holy Spirit couldn't do it without Peter and his shadow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of God and you received power when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say it again. You are a rare breed already. You believe in tongues. You've spent hours praying in the Holy Ghost. You know so much, and the Lord is pleased and blessed. But the end result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the ability to speak with tongues, although we don't diminish that at all. The end result, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you. Now, you might feel fear and intimidation because it's new. This is something you haven't done before. I want you to part of getting rid of that fear, the Holy Ghost in you. This is not new to him. He is also your counselor and your trainer. If you listen, he'll help you with what to say. But stop praying for God to heal them. That work has already been done. There's nothing for the Holy Spirit to manifest in that prayer. You're supposed to bind and you're supposed to loose in Jesus' name. Let's go to 2 Timothy just for a moment. Because he deals with fear. I have a message at the website called Endure Hardness as a Soldier. And I go through this these verses in great detail, but we're way over time tonight. But I want to give you enough of it. Got to understand, this is the last letter that Paul ever wrote. Paul knew he was about to be martyred in the Colosseum at Rome. He knew that. He's never going to write Timothy knows that when he gets this letter. Your mentor is about to be executed. Part of you goes, well, if they executed him, what's going to happen to me? Okay? So Paul's writing this letter with that knowledge. He's got to encourage young Timothy, don't be afraid. Now watch this. He starts off in chapter 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. See, that's how he started with you guys tonight. The Lord knows you have faith. The Lord knows you know about tongues. He's watched you be faithful to pray. He's saying, Timothy, you've got faith in you. I saw it first in your grandmother, and then I saw it in your mother, and I am persuaded that it's in you. God started off that way, talking to you tonight. You guys have, you've done so well. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've meditated the word. But he says, I want to put you in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, he's talking about, that is the Holy Ghost right there. The gift of God that was put in him by the laying on of hands. He's saying, you need to stir that up. And that's the final message to you. When you leave this conference, stir it up. Stir it up to another level. Meditate. Get these messages out and watch it again. And understand, you are the agent of authority. The Holy Ghost in you is the agent of power. We've been commissioned to go into the darkness and bring the light of the kingdom in Jesus' name. We're not sent to beg and plead for God to do something. We're supposed to go as lords and kings and command something. And watch the Holy Ghost do it in the name of Jesus. So he says, you stir that gift up. Now verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. See, there's a little intimidation when you've never done it. The first time you're going out, you're going, oh God, oh God. You know, maybe Timothy always before kind of relied on Paul. Paul was his mentor for a long time. Now Paul's gone. And he's saying, I don't want you to... God's not giving you a spirit of fear. What kind of spirit did he give you? Power, love, and a sound mind. Now this letter was written from prison, and this one is not written from the nice prison where he had his own rented house. This one is written from the Tullian keep. And he's about to die. Timothy knows that. Can you imagine the mockery that the world, oh, that Paul that preached Christ, will show him? That's why he says this. Don't you dare be ashamed. I'm paraphrasing a little. Don't you dare be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. See, we're called to be witnesses, martyrs. Don't be ashamed. Just because of what's happening to me, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed because I'm about to die. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. In this letter, later on, he says, endure hardness as a soldier. That's what God's calling us now. Don't you be ashamed. Don't you be in fear. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, you king, you lord, you more than a conqueror, you. God gave us the power that created the world right on the inside of you. He knows everything there is to know about healing, and he is your counselor. Amen? Amen. Say, I will stir up the gift.
I will stir up the gift.
Yes, sir. Okay, I hear this. Father,
with all that's in me,
I'm moving to a higher level
of trust in the Holy Ghost.
I'm going to move down off the mountain and into the battlefield. I'm wading into the kingdom of darkness with the sword of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost to set the captives free and harvest the harvest fields. In Jesus' name, I stir up the gift. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.